prophet Isaiah is pretty amazing. I feel like I jumped the gun last week if you were here and I introduced the sermon by talking about those rock bottom moments of life, because yet again we hear the prophet give us these words that speak to rock bottom moments. What's been your rock bottom moment in life? Maybe the loss of a spouse or a parent. God forbid, even the loss of a child. Folks go through that. And the loss of a friend. Maybe it's a broken relationship that just seems beyond repair. Maybe that was your rock bottom moment. Maybe your rock bottom moment was that moment that you realized that that one thing you had hoped for would not come to be, that unrealized hope, and you had to give it up. And it's hard. Those rock bottom moments of life. It's important that we locate today's text that Isaiah offers us, that we historically locate it, because I think it could really speak to the rock bottom moments in our own life. Scholars believe that Isaiah, the audience that chapters 1 through 39 were written for, that that was a different audience than the one that begins in chapter 40. This is an audience that finds itself living in and through the Babylonian exile. And so chapter 40 is like this turning point that Isaiah, we read, shifts to a different audience. This is why chapter 40 opens with those words we hear every Advent, "Comfort, O comfort my people," says your God. The tone changes in chapter 40. And then Isaiah unfolds this beginning of chapter 40 before where we even picked up today, unfolds this poetic groundswell of why God is good, and how even before everything that we thought was awful in life, even before any of that came to be, there was God. And this is why we put our hope in God. We pick up in verse 21 this notion of Isaiah asking questions, and this is what stuck with me all week. Isaiah asked these rhetorical questions. Have you not known? Did you not hear? Basically saying to the people, don't you remember? And then the prophet continues. This is who God is. This is why you can place your hope in God. The people, you see, are in this moment of rock bottom. For the Israelites, Jerusalem means a lot. I mean, that holy city, the promised land, this is where they found their identity. And it's been burned to the ground. Babylonians came in and they sent them out. Families are broken apart. Everything seems lost for them. And the prophet whispers yet again in their ear, have you not heard? Don't you remember the goodness of God? Even in the worst moments of life, put your hope in God. It's almost as though the people have this issue with memory loss. They've lost their memory. I thought about that, this memory loss. Excuse me. This memory loss, these rhetorical questions this week. When we hit our rock bottom moments in life, it can be easy to forget that our hope is found in God. One of the things that breaks my heart most as a pastor is when people say, I've got this awful thing going on in my life. I can't go to church right now. I just need to stay away for a while. And maybe you felt that way. And it's okay to feel that way, but gosh, that's heartbreaking. Because if there's anywhere in life we ought to go when we hit rock bottom, it's here. It's with a community of faith. It's gathering before the very mystery of God to remember that our hope ultimately lies in God. Our hope lies in the mercy of God. Anne Lamott has this amazing book, Broken Hallelujah, and in it she reminds us that Pope Francis once said that mercy is God's name. But Anne Lamott says mercy's also our name. It's just we set it aside when we try to be admired, or when we try to be famous, when we try to be strong and powerful. We forget that our name is mercy too, that we are made in the image of God, that our hope is found in God's mercy. We forget. Have you ever forgotten that? It's easy to do. Truth is, it's pretty easy, at least for me, it's pretty easy to come to church when life's going good. Everything's good. We come, we visit with our friends, we sing, we pray, we hear a good word, we go home and say, that was nice. That was good. My Sunday is complete now. What's hard is when your ground, the ground of your life, is shaken, and all you can do is hope to just put one foot in front of the other, in front of the other, and to somehow bring yourself in all of your brokenness here. That's hard. But the prophet reminds us, don't you remember? Haven't you heard? This notion of memory loss stuck with me this week. I spent a year when I was in seminary at Candler. I was a chaplaincy intern at Wesley Woods Hospital. If you're not familiar with Wesley Woods is the geriatric hospital of Emory University Hospital, and they're world renowned for their treatment of dementia patients. And so, I mean, the spectrum of dementia is just incredible. It's not all Alzheimer's, in case you didn't know, but it's just this humongous spectrum. And this their treatment of dementia patients is incredible. And so I spent a good bit of my time as a chaplaincy intern visiting with patients suffering with dementia. And I'm a first-year seminary student, and I don't know anything about ministry. I know nothing at all, even less than I know now. But I really don't know anything. And I go in there, and I'm trying to talk with people. And if you've ever had a loved one or even a friend who has suffered with dementia, you know what this is like. The cognitive abilities are come and go, and too often they go more than they come. And so you're talking here, but they're in a world over here, and you're just talking like this, if you've ever had a loved one with dementia, and that happens. And it was really hard for me to be in ministry like that, because I'm a talker. You know, I love conversation, and to have to figure out how to be in ministry where I can't use my gift of gab, it was really difficult. I spent a whole year having pity for these people, these patients with dementia. But the truth is, looking back, I also remember these amazing moments. These moments that you could be talking in two different worlds, and then when you'd gather in the common area, or you'd gather in the lobby area, and the nurses would bring the patients out, and you'd have moments of worship, and you'd do things like say the Lord's Prayer, and all of a sudden this person who's in another world begins saying it. They know it. Or you sing a hymn, and all of a sudden, this person who could not tell you their children's names 5 minutes earlier sing the chorus to a hymn. Or you offer communion. And they know the liturgy, the responses, without a hymnal, mind you. See, what happens when you come to worship is this stuff, when done well, gets down into a level of you that's deeper than even your cognitive ability. It gets down, we would say, down south, it gets down into your bones. It does. Here I am having pity for these people and their condition, but what they teach me is they knew who they were. They knew they were children of a good God, and that somehow the rhythms of worship gave them an identity down in their soul that even when their cognitive abilities were gone, they still knew. They couldn't tell you why they knew, or how they knew, but they knew. Do you know? In your worst moments of life, do you know that you are a beloved child of God? There is no attribute you can have. There is no fame you can gain. There is no achievement you can strive for that can change that fact. If nothing else, I want you to hear, maybe this is your day that you put one foot in front of the other, and somehow on this rainy Sunday morning, you ended up here. And you need to hear the good news that there is hope, that you can mount up on wings like eagles, as the prophet poetically tells us. And if you can't fly, then our hope is found in God's promise that you can run and not get tired. And if you don't feel like running, if even that's too hard, you can walk and not stumble. And if this is not your day, if you don't have your moment of rock bottom, you need to hear this too, because it will come. God never promised us that heartache and tragedy would never happen in our life. It's part of the human condition. It's part of the brokenness that we live into. It happens to all of us. But God does promise us that there is a strength that will hold us no matter what. Will help us not stumble. Will help give us strength so we're not weary. And little by little, this hope will transform us and help us grow. And by God's mercy, we will fly as children of God. What an amazing thing that is. Amen.